All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. April 5th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We are on a roll. We've had two good days so far. We've had so much rain here on the East Coast. It has been a bit depressing. I know it's bad because it's all people have been talking about. And I think I'm I don't want to say a victim of it, but I've definitely been feeling the gloom and doom, or not even gloom and doom, just, you know, bummed out, right? Just been a little bummed out. We need some sunshine. And so we've got, this is our second day in a row with sunshine. I don't know if it's supposed to rain, who knows, but yesterday started off the same way. I ended up having such a bad headache yesterday. It was crazy. Getting old is getting weird for me. I'm starting to notice these things, and every time some weird shit pops up, I'm like, "Is this going to be it? Is this going to define my old age?" Right? It was the vertigo. I was starting to get. I had a couple spells of vertigo. I'm like, "Is this going to be my thing? Right? Is this going to be the anchor I drag around this vertigo?" Because you know, I'm the kind of guy that I hear about people with vertigo. And I'm like, right? A little judgy, right? I should not do that. But until then, it starts happening to me. I'm like, damn, right? Is this going to be the thing that takes me out? And I hope not. But yesterday I had this freaking crazy headache. And it's sort of kind of like that vertigo thing minus the vertigo. So yesterday was not a good day. I was working. I worked through it. At one point, I put some color on a lady's hair. And then I laid on the couch with a cold compress on my forehead. That's how bad it was. And the crazy thing is I felt better after that. It was really... it was pretty nice. I told my wife, I go, I think I'm going to start putting a cold compress on my head all the time. I don't know. It made me feel a lot better. And then I had some lunch and it all sort of passed and my whole attitude and everything sort of changed around 2 o'clock yesterday. Thank God, because I was suffering and, but today's a new day. I feel great. And I just want to say, I feel better. I know that I shared in this podcast that I'd gone to the doctor. I do feel better. I just think I think whatever's left is just allergies, seasonal change, getting old. I just don't, sometimes problems pop up in my life that aren't fixable, right? They're just the way it is. And I'm kind of okay with that, right? So, but I do feel better. I can breathe a little better. That's good. I can have my breath again, which is very helpful. But yeah, I woke up this morning. I didn't even get up that late. I think around 7:30, and a buddy of mine had called, and so I called him back, and we were chatting. And one of the things, this was always a challenge for me as a kid, as a young adult, a person drinking, and then especially the person that got sober was, and I've shared about this, how my buddy Matt would call me and he'd say, come over. I'd say, okay, right. And I love Matt. And I would, haul ass over there. And he would be like, hey, I'm just going through some shit. And he would, he would share. And then I would try to fix it, right?
Well.
And he would say, I didn't have you over here to fix it, right? I just wanted you to listen. And I'd be like, oh, shit. Exposed again, right? And so my buddy called this morning. And he's like, hey, you got a minute? I was like, of course. And, he's sharing what's going on in his life. And inside, I'm like, I got to try to fix it, right? And it's hard. It is hard. That used to be the thing that kept me in the conversation, right? My bright ideas, my good ideas. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? When it's not necessary. That is, for me, was a character defect, right? And, he calls me this morning, and But I'm aware of it now, so I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm trying not to try to fix his problems. I'm trying to listen, right? And, that's one of the things that is hard for me is that, I've gotten sober, right? And I've worked a program, and I've put in the time. But, man, when someone calls me and wants to chat, and, I immediately revert back to that guy that I used to be, and I just want to try to fix everything, and that's another character defect that I need to try to fix, right?
tell me what's wrong and what's right. And it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it. Where nothing is owed, deserved, or expected. And your life doesn't change by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone you're never rejected, decide what to be and go be it.
Last of those bad thoughts are finally out. What a great, I love, you know, when I've started doing this podcast and playing music like I do, it's amazing how when I listen to the lyrics of some of these songs, which maybe didn't really take me one way or the other before, and then I listen to them now and I'm like how, you know, how just how pertinent they are to the situations. And it's, I mean, it's just really cool. What a great band. I know the Avett Brothers, they are sober. So I would absolutely hear recovery in their words and in their journey. But yeah, anyway, it was great. You know, I did listen, right? And I don't try to fix it. I try to give suggestions, but at the same time, trying to fix it, right? So I appreciate him calling me this morning. It's a great way to start the day, and it's just a great reminder of how this program works, right? One alcoholic helping another, right? And it doesn't always mean I have to roll up my sleeve. Right, I have to dig in. Right, sometimes it's just nice to listen, and I appreciate him calling me. We talk all the time. I mean, you know, not all the time, but we bounce shit off each other. And I told, you know, one of the things I tried to fix him right this morning was that, you know, irritable, restless, and discontent. Right, it's that same. The worst part is that everything he was talking about this morning, I'm going through myself. Right, this. You know, just not quite doing well enough. It was great because I think he answered his own question, which in turn helped me sort of answer my question as a great reminder. You know, I think he sort of figured out the same thing I'm figuring out, that a lot of my problems are procrastination, right? And I also think it's just seasonal, right? And, you know, we'd like to be better, and it's a lot of work to be normal. And I've been feeling the same way. You know, I've got so much stuff going on in my life and I don't always feel like I'm great at it. And I feel like I fall short and I could do better, and I could, you know, my weight, right? My health, my, what I'm eating, all these little things that, you know, that start to build up. And so it was great, you know, for him to call and reach out, because it helps me. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's in that place where, you know, not sure how we help, right? I remember early on in my recovery, how can I be of help to anybody, right? And sometimes it's just asking or just wanting to bend an ear, right, and just have a chat. And it was helpful to me because I have to remember that I can't try to fix everything. I am not a know-it-all. I don't know everything. I don't know anything. One day at a time, what I thought I knew yesterday, scratch for today, right? Who knows? But that is the beauty of this program, and it's amazing. You know, I've been watching. Thank you, bro. Appreciate the call. You are a huge help to me too, so thank you. I've been watching. You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm a guy that watches a lot of YouTube, and what is this guy's name? Because he popped up in my YouTube the other night, and I started watching him. Hold on, I'm going to pause this a second. Okay, I found it. So his name is Zach Bush, and I don't know who this guy is. But he's very smart, right? And I was watching him the other night, and he was talking about one thing, man. He says a lot of words. A lot of words come out of this guy's mouth. Good words, right? But I'm just I spent 20 minutes just baffled that all these words that could come out of one man's mouth without like a card or a book or something. But, you know, it's funny whether it's him, this program, or all of the million things in between, it's always the same problem, right? It's very simple. It is this balance between self and humility. It's the battle since I think man was created, right? And, you know, you can say it in one sentence or you can say it in 1,000. But when it all boils down, it's that same battle between self and humility. And, but I was listening to him and he was talking about, you know, this world of seeing each other through egoless glasses, right? This filter that we put on everything that we do and everything that we think, or everything I do and I think, you know, has to pass through my ego first. And, you know, it creates judgment and fear and pumps me up or whatever it does, right? You know, I'm sure there's a role for ego in our lives, right? It's, you know, ego is the one that made me go and try to open my own salon, right? I had this idea that I was good enough and I should own my own salon, right? And I remember when I met with those people and wanted to do it, right? But that was all ego-based. And so I'm grateful for sometimes where there's ego in my life. It's just that, is there God on the other side to keep me humble, right? You know, I remember calling my buddy Matt, and I was like, I got $5,000 in the bank. And he was like, well, have you paid any of your bills yet? And I was like, well, no. And he's like, well, you don't have shit. And I was like, okay, I'll call you later, right? You know, it's always that the balance between how awesome I am and then reality. And so, but he was, this guy was, you know, and he said it in so many words, right? And very, and well put, right? And, but it still boils down to the same thing, right? It's what ego does to my life. And, you know, I've sort of been talking about this and you know, I don't listen to a lot of people like that guy and I don't pay a lot of attention to other books and stuff because I have been learning this on my own through experience, right? Struggle, experimenting, working with a sponsor, working these steps, right? And it starts to sort of reveal itself, right? This real battle between self and God, right? The devil and God. And I had no idea, right? I had no idea. You know, the funny thing is that, you know, I suffer from a two-headed monster, right? A two-pronged disease. I suffer from alcoholism, right? Well, I am an alcoholic, right? And that means that when I open my mouth and put alcohol in it, I basically pour the devil right into my body. Once that happens, I'm basically on cruise control. I have lost control of myself. The devil has taken over. The self has taken over. And the devil or self cannot stop itself, right? When I start drinking, I cannot stop. It's the most crazy thing. You know, it wasn't always like that. I used to drink with my friends and, you know, on the weekends, and it would be a few beers, some beer bongs, some Jack and Cokes, whatever, but it wasn't this constant desire to keep drinking, right? And in the end, that's exactly what was going on. I couldn't stop. If I had one drink, I was drinking until I passed out, crashed out, got thrown out, something, right? Somebody somewhere somehow had to take the alcohol physically out of my hands, or I would just keep drinking, right? Luckily, I would drink to a point where I would pass out, right? Luckily, I never died, but that's the disease I have. That's one side of it. And then the other side of the disease that I have is this self-centered side. And there isn't much I can do about the first part, right? I might have even described them in the wrong order, really. My first disease is the self-centered side. And the second disease is if I drink, I can't stop. And but the first part, you know, I have to work on to keep me from getting to the second part, right? This is for me, it's like the first part is like, you know, recovery is like being in the house and the devil's knocking. And I know what to do. I lock the doors. I close the windows. I keep the devil out by working these steps and working with others and you know, sharing with people and getting it all out. But if I don't do that, somehow the devil could get in. And once he's in, I can't get him out again. Right? To get him out takes a fist, handcuffs, a crash, you know, complete humiliation, ego, devastation, and that usually allows me to try to get a fresh start. But I don't want to get to that point, right? So I have to focus on my first disease, which is this disease of self. And people are like, well, what does that even matter, right? And the problem is, if I don't, that part of my disease will talk me into allowing the second half in, which is crazy. And it's happened to me. You know, I've said this hundreds of times. That devil came knocking one day, and I didn't have the education. I didn't have the support. I didn't have the defense to take it on. And he showed up in a nice way and had some great suggestions. And the next thing you know, not only was I drinking, but I'd talked my wife into letting me, right? Or tricked her. So, you know, it's, for me, I've learned that it's very important. And what are the benefits from working on that first part of the disease is that I find this place of peace. And like this guy was saying the other night, you know, if I could look at somebody without the ego filter on the glasses, if I could just look at somebody free of ego, we would burst out into tears of joy and happiness. And it's ego that keeps us from that. And it's so true. He said it in such a better way, though, right? You know, it was an hour and a half podcast of him, you know, constantly talking all these great words. And I was like, yeah, this is so amazing. But in the end, it boils down to the same damn thing. It's this battle between ego and self, and or ego and humility. And it just continues to change. And it's one of the greatest things I've learned in recovery. But it's also one of the most complicated things because, you know, one day I feel like I'm doing pretty good. And then the next day, you know, my buddy talked about, you know, his diet. That's the thing I struggle with, right? I'm having this moment in my life where I'm really paying attention to my diet, right? And I feel, I was thinking this morning, am I getting fat or am I getting old, right? I don't know. I feel like I want to be an 18-year-old kid until the day I die, right? I want to have when I was 18, right, I didn't have any fat. I had, you know, muscle tone. I was, you know, had a good time. Everything was great. And then at 55, you know, you're not 18 anymore. And I think it's just ego wanting what I can't have. And then I have to remind myself, well, what would you do if you were 18, had an 18-year-old body anyway, right? Nothing. But I do want to be healthy. I do want to get up off the floor. I want to be able to be active. You know, before I go to bed every night, I try to do some push-ups, 15, 20 push-ups. I'm no Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I try to stretch. One of the things I'm learning as I get older is my mobility. So I try to stretch and try to keep everything loose. But when it's all said and done, I got to get up off the floor. And sometimes it's tough. It's one knee, hold a cabinet, pull up. I mean, it's like, and the fact is, I'm just, I think, getting old too. And that just is not great. But it's this, you know, I felt pretty good. I wasn't that concerned about it yesterday. And then, you know, the next day it comes along. And I did say to him, my sponsor used to say this to me, and I've heard people say it, you know, and I asked him, I go, you know, well, what step are you working on, right? How can we find a step in our life that will kind of identify what we're going through? And I know for me, and I've talked about this, you know, I've been doing a lot of procrastinating, right? It's this, I'm already a procrastinator, and now I've put a lot of shit on my plate, and I'm procrastinating again, and then I feel bad about myself, right? And that's a character defect. And I've gone through the 6 and 7 step. I've figured out all my character defects. I just forgot to tell myself to remove them, I guess. You know, people say sometimes I don't want to remove them. Maybe I find some comfort in procrastinating. I don't know what it is, but it is definitely one of the things in my life that makes me struggle. And I've got a whole list of them now, a big procrastinating list of things. I got to call all these, you know, the electric company, the cable company, all these different places and let them know that I'm shutting down the salon. I have to call the unemployment office to let them know I'm shutting down this business. There's just this whole list, and I've done none of it. I have been procrastinating for the last 4 weeks on getting contact lenses. Why? I do not know. And every Monday, I say I'm going to do it. Every Monday, I'm going to go have breakfast with my father. And every Monday, I tell myself, on the way back from having breakfast with your father, stop and order your contact lenses. And every Monday, I don't. Not a big deal, right? No one's going to pick up a drink over it. But it makes me feel like I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to do, because usually I'll leave my dad's, end up over at my house, end up laying on the couch watching TV, right? And so not only am I not doing what I'm supposed to do, now I'm also being sort of lazy. And then that sort of bleeds into my other problem with my diet and my weight, you know, because, you know, over the winter, it's hard to stay active, right? And so I think probably I'll put on a few pounds. I'm not going to the gym. I'm not that serious about it, I guess. But so now I'm feeding into another procrastination I have, which is I should probably go to the gym. I should be doing more exercise, right? So it's just one after the other. And I have to remind myself, Tom, lighten up. Right, lighten up. We're okay. I don't know. Anyway, I went to a good meeting the other night, or I went to a great meeting yesterday, and it was awesome. And it was on, so it was actually not yesterday, it was Wednesday. And I think I might have started to do a podcast on this. I don't think I finished it. And I'll just talk about it if I did. And I did talk about it and I forgot. I'm sorry. But the reading was on page 92 of As Bill Sees It. And I'll read it, if you don't mind. What time is it? Yeah, okay. So it's called Walking Towards Serenity. Right? And it says, when I was tired and couldn't concentrate, I used to fall back on a... Wait a minute. I need to turn on the flashlight. Fucking getting old, man. Can't see anything. All right. When I was tired and couldn't concentrate, I used to fall back on an affirmation towards life that took the form of simple walking and deep breathing. I sometimes told myself that I couldn't do even this. This I was too weak, but I learned that this was the point at which I could not give in without becoming still more depressed. So I would set myself a small stint. I guess that's a goal, stint. I don't know. So I would set myself a small stint. I would determine to walk a quarter of a mile, and I would concentrate by counting my breathing, say six steps to each slow inhalation and four to each exhalation. Having done the quarter mile, I found that I could go on, maybe a half mile more, then another half mile, and maybe another. This was encouraging. The false sense of physical weakness would leave me. This feeling being so characteristic of depression, the walking and especially the breathing were powerful affirmations, towards life and living, having the failure and death. The counting represented a minimum discipline in concentration to get some rest from the wear and tear of fear and guilt. Sorry, I have these mono contacts, so like one eye is for reading and one eye is for distance, and so it's hard to read. But what I took from that, and I thought it was, I really liked that because it was a reminder of, you know, when I came into this program, I was like, I don't know how I can do this, right? I had all of these. I have definitely, you know, I hadn't listened to, you know, all the great things, the little ideas, one day at a time, stay in the moment, you know, all these things. I just came in as a guy going, how am I going to stay sober, right? Alcohol runs through my life so much. How am I going to be able to continue my life without alcohol, right? And it was that thing, that one day at a time, that one meeting at a time. I remember coming in, and I've shared this, that I just wanted to be healthy and fit. And all of my problems that I had in my life were all because I've been drinking too much. And there may have been some truth to that. But when I stopped drinking, my expectations were that all of the problems that I've had were going to go away. And I was going to finally be able to be the person that I was hoping to be one day. And that's a lot. It's a lot. And I remember, you know, I would walk. And I remember I wanted to run. And I would try to run to the corner and then walk the rest of the way. And then I would run around the corner and I would walk the rest of the way. And eventually, right, I became a runner. Right? I never ran a marathon, but I definitely ran 10 miles. I would run 10 miles with my buddy a few times a week. And it was great, but I had to do it in little pieces. And it's the same thing with this program and recovery and serenity, right? Because to me, it's all about walking towards serenity. I said it the other day. I said it in another podcast. I forgot, right? I can't keep track of all this, but, you know, sober won't keep us sober, right? We have to start putting those, I have to make those little stents, right? Those little goals. And, you know, even though I've been doing this for quite a while and feel pretty confident in my recovery and where I'm at, you know, it's, you know, buddies like calling me this morning, reminding me of stuff they're going through, which reminds me of, hey, I'm still working on stuff, right? I still need to sometimes refer back to making little goals. And this is, I'm coming into one of those periods right now when closing down the salon, you know, I have to make a little goal. And I don't know if it's, I should write it down. In fact, I should. In fact, that's what I will do now. This will be another thing I procrastinate on, right? Writing it down. But I think I should, you know, that might be a good solution. Maybe I need to write down everything I need to work on. And not work on, but just get done, right? I need to call Comcast. I need to call whatever and make sure I let all these people know that as of this date, I'm leaving, right? And maybe if I could just do one a day, right? Maybe just check off one of these a day. Maybe all the whole list sometimes makes me want to put my head in the sand, but if I could just check off one, right? And that may be a good solution. I don't know, but something to work on. Like I told my buddy this morning, man, it's a lot of damn work to be normal. And he laughed. And so, hey, man, I appreciate him calling me this morning. It's one alcoholic helping another. And, you know, I don't know if he realizes it, right, because I think he calls because he wants to bend my ear. But in the end, it's a big help for me. And it allows me to reflect and see why I am feeling irritable and discontent, right? And maybe I can do some things to make myself better. All right, let me read the daily reflection, and then I will leave you to yourselves. Hope you have a great day. It is Friday. Hopefully it's warm wherever you are at. Daily reflections. If I can see it. All right. Except truth. Oh, true brotherhood. April 5th, we have not once sought to be one in a family, to be a friend among friends, to be a worker amongst workers, to be a useful member of society. Always we try to struggle to the top of the heap or to hide underneath it. This self-centered behavior blocked a partnership relationship with any one of those about us. Of true brotherhood, we had small comprehension. It's true. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 53. This message contained in step 4 was the first one I heard loud and clear. I hadn't seen myself in print before. Prior to my coming into AA, I knew of no place that could teach me how to become a person among persons. From my very first meeting, I saw people doing just that, and I wanted what they had. One of the reasons that I'm a happy, sober alcoholic today is that I am learning this most important lesson. Yeah. I've always said that, man. I learned so much just in the first 15 minutes before the meeting, right? That's why, you know, it's, you know, to each his own, but I've always felt like, you know, as a newcomer, it was told to me, I really didn't have a lot to offer. Come to the meeting, right? Come early, talk to people before the meeting, watch the people before the meeting, come to the meeting, sit down and shut up. And then kind of conversations after the meeting. Cause that to me was where I got most of my learning was, you know, I remember watching men hug, right? I was like, what? Not that I was, you know, weirded out. I was just, you know, that didn't seem very manly, right? That ego would be like, we don't hug men, right? And to see men hug one another and smile and be friends and not want something from another person, just a friendship. That was all the great stuff to learn for me, right? And listen to how people listened and talked, and it was just, I just sucked it all up, and it was great. So yeah. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for letting me share, and I will catch you later. Bye bye.
There's a darkness upon you that's flooded in light. In the fire.